We continue our studies on the names of God, and we come now to a tremendous name of God. We've already had him as Elohim, the one who creates, the one who is mighty. And then we had the one as El Elyon, the one who owns everything, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. And you remember this was revealed to Abram in the book of Genesis chapter 14. And again, permit me to say that as we follow through in the Old Testament, these names which give to us a revelation of the person and character of God, we find them fulfilled in our Savior in the New Testament. And one could expect this because in John, the first chapter, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He goes on, and the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us full of grace and truth. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who was in the bosom of the Father, he hath shown him forth. He hath declared him. Show us the Father, said one of his disciples. Have I been so long time with you, and don't you know me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. So, I repeat it, in the Old Testament we have the revelation of his names. God revealing himself to men. God having real interest in men. God wanting men to know him. God has made the provision whereby you and I can be fitted to come in his presence and commune with him. Not only have relationship with him, not only have our sins forgiven and life eternal given to us, but to be brought into a relationship where we can really commune with him, one with him. Now we come to the third great name in the Bible, which is used by the Spirit of God to reveal to us what kind of a God we have. And this is the name El Shaddai, which means the Almighty God. Now you find this word in the book of Genesis chapter 17, the very first verse. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And that is followed by the Abrahamic covenant. God wants to reveal himself in so many different ways because he wants us to know what kind of a God we have. Now as the El Shaddai, the Almighty God, he's the all-power one, the one who is sufficient for all our needs. And when somebody says, and this is sometimes asked, some people write this, is your God big enough for us today? Is he big enough for you and for me, right where we live, right where we work, in our families, in our neighborhood, down in the shop, wherever you may be, overseas or at home, wherever you may go in the world, is our God big enough? Yes, my friend, he's the Almighty God. He's the El Shaddai. He has power to do anything he wants to do. You see, the trouble today is that man has made his own God. Man has deified himself, and he doesn't want God to interfere with him. I want to say that very kindly. One can't read the newspapers or the magazines today, even in America. People are becoming more and more bold in their opposition to God. They don't want people to hear about God. They don't want the children of their neighbors to hear about God. So we rule the Bible out of the schools. We don't want people to know about Jesus. We'll run our own lives. This is the independent spirit that is manifested today. And we're going to reap a whirlwind. You reap just what you sow. And if we sow corruption, we're going to reap corruption. And man has so deified himself, he doesn't need God. Oh, how often I've had people say to me in past days, I don't need your Jesus. I don't need your Savior. I'm perfectly satisfied with my life. and don't you interfere with it. So we have this today. I could do what I want to do. Man, in his arrogancy, in his pride, in his self-will, will even fight against God to have his own way. Now, is my God big enough? Yes. I repeat it, I may not understand all that God does. How could one? God is omnipotent. God is sovereign. He's supreme. He's unlimited. Whereas you and I are limited. Limited in the gifts we have. Limited in our knowledge. Limited in our experience. But the wonderful thing is that God has revealed himself so you can know him. And one of these days, by the way, can I inject this? One of these days, God is going to move toward man, and God is going to complete his purposes for man and for the earth. Whether you believe it or not, whether you want to or not, God is going to complete his purpose. As our Lord could say to Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The omnipotent, almighty God is speaking. And there's no power on earth or hell that can brook or oppose what he wants to do. And just as sure as God is on the throne and is almighty, the El Shaddai, he's going to do what he wants to do. And sometimes, and I've mentioned this before, I had people come in and ask me what kind of a God I have who should allow what's going on in the earth today. May I tell you, my friend, men are just reaping the fruitage of what they've sown. Whether it's Vietnam or Germany or Cuba, wherever it may be, men reap what they sow. And God today is not dealing with nations. I don't want to be on the earth when he does begin to deal with the nations, because he's going to deal in righteousness. As I've oftentimes said on this radio, it's not until God pours out his judgments upon men will they ever learn righteousness. And this is what Isaiah 26:9 declares. Now let's come down to the revelation of God as El Shaddai, as the Almighty God. And the more I think about this, the more I hang my head in shame in the fact that we as Christians have not proved to the world that our God is El Shaddai. But I'll tell you this, he is the only one who can deliver you from the bondage and the penalty of sin. He is the only one who can deliver you from the fear and power of death. He's the only one who can fit you for the presence of God. Only an omnipotent, sovereign God, the El Shaddai, can take men and women, fit them, and then use them to reach nations for himself. Sometimes I think of some of our young women, young fellows have gone down different parts of the world, have gone among some of these tribal people in Africa, in South America, so on through Southeast Asia, in the midst of vileness, corruption, hatred, murder, you name it, headhunters, and they've gone in quietly and lived and manifested the precious love of the Savior. Where in the world do you think they get the courage from? And the strength from? From El Shaddai. From El Shaddai. Now in Genesis chapter 17, the first verse, we read these words. When Abram was 99 years of age, and of course Sarah would be 89 years of age, the Lord said to him, I'm El Shaddai, I'm the Almighty God, walk before me and be perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face. And then God gave him the Abrahamic covenant. Now, it may be well for me to suggest this. When God gave him the revelation of El Shaddai, for the word means that God is almighty, that he's the nourisher, he's the one who can impart himself, can impart his power, can impart his life to perform his precious will. Now you remember in chapter 12, 1 to 3, where God said to Abram, "Get thee out from thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. I'll make your name great, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." But he has no children, and he is now 75 years of age. When he and Sarah came into the land of Palestine, to the promised land, he was 75 and she was 65. Now in the 13th chapter of Genesis, God said to Abram after Lot had left him, "I'm going to make your seed, your children, as the sand by the seashore for multitude." If you can count the sand, you can count your seed. That's a good promise. But still, there are no children. You come into the 14th chapter, and you have what we had the other day. You have him manifesting the courage of faith in defeating these enemies, and then you have him receiving the revelation of his God as Elyon, the possessor of heaven and earth. And then you come to chapter 16. And in chapter 16, you've got a climax. Abram is 85 years of age. Sarah is 75 years of age. And still no children. And God had said to him a number of times, "In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." In chapter 13, "I will make your seed like the sand by the seashore for multitude." In chapter 15, he said, "I will make your children like the stars of heaven." And Abram believed God. But you know, it's very, very, very hard for us, you and me, to kind of wait God's time. You know, we say it and we teach it that God is always on time. I think possibly one of the hardest things for us Christians is to be patient and wait God's time. We pray, we ask for things, and we expect God to do it right now. And if God doesn't do it right now, we say, "Well, he never heard my prayer," or "he's not going to answer my prayer," or "God doesn't answer prayer." Yes, you want it on your own terms. You want it on your own time instead of God's time. Now, what happened? Well, poor Sarah couldn't wait. And she did which was a very, very common thing in those days. She took her servant girl, Hagar, whom she got out of Egypt, and she said to Abraham, "You take Hagar, my servant, and you get me a boy through her. It's no use waiting on me, Abraham. I'm 75 years of age, and there's no hope for me at all." So you remember the story that Ishmael is born. And between chapter 16 and 17 of the book of Genesis, you've got 13 years of silence. No revelation, no history, nothing between chapters 13, 16, and 17. The chapter ends in 16. Abram was 86 years of age when Ishmael was born. And now the next verse says Abram was 90 years of age. 99 years of age. That means that 13 years he's out of the will of God. He's playing more than likely with Ishmael, and one could expect that. Here's a man, 86 years of age, has a baby, becomes a father. And of course, it's a wonderful thing, after waiting all these years, from 75 to 85, waiting 10 long years, and now he's got a baby boy. But it's not the one that God promised. Now, he's 99 years of age, and there's no hope for Sarah. She is 89 years of age, and there's no hope for Abram. And God said, "Listen, Abram, I'm El Shaddai. I'm the Almighty God. I can do exactly what I want to do." And Abram believed God. How do you know? Well, Romans chapter 4 informs me that when Abram was about 100 years of age, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, believing that what God had promised, what El Shaddai had promised, he was able also to perform. Take Hebrews chapter 11, the 11th verse. Even Sarah had to believe. So I believe that when God revealed himself as El Shaddai, as the eternal, the almighty God, to Abram, Sarah too must have gotten a revelation, because we read this, Sarah by faith, Sarah herself, received strength to conceive seed when she was past age, because, and she was delivered of a child, because she judged him faithful who had promised. But who did the promising? El Shaddai, the all-sufficient, the almighty God. Now, I've taken time over this because I want you to get this thing very, very, very clear in your mind. It's the El Shaddai. Walk before me as a child in simple trust. I'll do exactly what I say I'm going to do. And do you know, when you come to the last book of the Bible, I find that Jesus Christ is the El Shaddai. I'm bringing that in now because I want you to see this with Abraham. You take John chapter 8. Why did the Jews pick up stones to kill Jesus? Because he said this, your father Abram rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. They said to him, wait a minute, you're not yet 40 years of age. Have you seen Abraham? Before Abraham was, I am. I'm El Shaddai. This is his claim. I'm El Shaddai. I'm your father Abram's God. That's why when you come to the book of Matthew, the 27th chapter, or the book of John, chapter 19, they said, the Jewish leaders said to Pilate, you can't let him go. When Pilate says, I'll scourge him and let him go. No, you can't scourge him and let him go. He made himself the Son of God, claimed to be El Shaddai, the Almighty God. You see, this was the name that the patriarchs called him. He's El Shaddai. He's the one who never fails. Abram failed. Sarah failed. And then you got 13 years out of fellowship with God. Just think of it. 17 years out of fellowship with God. Here's the friend of God. Here's the man to whom God revealed himself. The God of glory. The El Elyon. The possessor of heaven and earth. He gave his word that Abram and Sarah would have a boy, and in him would all the families of the earth be blessed. But he couldn't wait. Couldn't trust his God. And the result was Ishmael is born, a child of the flesh. 13 years of silence. My Christian friend, how long are you out of fellowship with God? How much do you know of your God? It's so easy to sit in judgment on Abram and say, man, why couldn't you wait God's time? Well, do you wait God's time? Do I? How often we, with the revelation of God before us, indwelt by the Spirit of God, how much do we know about El Shaddai, the Almighty God? The one who is all-sufficient. The one, when he speaks, is going to keep his word. And Sarah learned that lesson. And I repeat that verse in Hebrews 11:11. By faith, Sarah herself received strength. Where did she get it from? From El Shaddai. My friend, he's the eternal God. He's the El Elyon. the possessor of heaven and earth. He's the Most High God, but he's also El Shaddai. He's enough for you. He's enough for me. Whatever the test, whatever the trial, remember, he's El Shaddai. We'll continue our next lesson on El Shaddai. I want you to know, I want you to experience fellowship, the power, the blessing of El Shaddai, the God who is enough for you and for me.